I want you to turn tonight with me into the book of, let's go to the book of Romans. And in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter and the 1st verse. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Let's start with that. Romans 5 and start with the 1st verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Let me turn real quickly and read to you one other place, and we'll try to preach tonight. The 103rd Psalm. That blessed, sweet psalmist of Israel sang, and David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle." If the Lord will help me tonight, and you'll pray for me, I promise not to preach an hour and a half tonight if I can help it. I want to preach to you on the glorious benefits of being right with God. The glorious benefits of just being right with God. Lift your hands and ask God to help me preach tonight, would you? Father, thank you for the demonstration of your Spirit. Thank you for the moving and the anointing of the Holy Ghost in the song service tonight. Thank you for that life you touched and that one you stirred and that one you bought back and redeemed back tonight, God, already in the service. Lord, I pray you stand by us now for a little while, God, as we endeavor to preach from the precious Word of God. Lord, if you'll do it, we'll step to the side and give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. For we ask it in the name of Jesus, and the congregation said, Amen. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The benefits. You know, many, many times the striking workers and the management can come together real quickly on an hourly wage. But some years ago, the unions and the workers began to realize that there was something possibly more important even than a raise on the air. And they begin to negotiate for the benefits. Amen. The psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." And I want to preach to you tonight on the glorious benefits of being right with God. They're not just saved in eternity, but there are things that are benefits that we have now. First of all, and possibly the most important, and certainly the most important to the sinner, this being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace. Did you know what the world spends multiplied millions of dollars every year on various types of recreation just trying to find peace? They go from doctor to doctor and from medical building to medical building trying to find some new formula, some new nerve tablet, some elixir of happiness that'll make life worth living and their existence tolerable. And so it is a wonderful thing tonight to just be at peace with God. For the first thing, if a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make his enemies to be at peace with him. If everything you do, if every way you turn, if every time you look up, something's gone wrong, I'd take a look at where I was living. Because Jesus said that there was an inheritance. Stay with me, I'm going to preach to you. That there was an inheritance. And He said, it's my peace. And not as the world giveth peace, but my peace. And that peace that I'll give you is yours by inheritance. Justified before God because of the atonement He has forgiven and freely. Bless the Lord. And forget not all of His benefits. Who forgiveth all mine iniquities? Jesus Christ come into the heart, and the war with sin is over. When Jesus signs the peace treaty with your soul, there's a peace that the world can't take away. There is a peace in knowing that every sin that you ever committed that side of the cross is forgiven. Sometimes the devil comes to some poor, weak, doubting Christians and he says to them, do you really believe? Do you really mean to tell me that you think God forgive you? And then he goes way back down in your checkered past and drags up some hideous thing that you look at and think, how could I ever have done that? And you'll think, well, maybe I won't never be saved. But I want you to know tonight the glorious benefit of being right with God through Jesus Christ is peace with God. Amen. Help me, Lord. If you are saved tonight, you'll be no more saved and no more justified than you will be on that day. Do you understand that? I feel like I'm preaching to you. Because you said, the Bible said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. The devil has a field day with us because we don't understand what the Word of God says. Therefore, being justified, the war with sin is over. We're fighting now, not the inward, but the outward. If you tell me I just can't keep from doing it, it was just in there and it slipped out, I'm going to tell you, you ain't never made peace with God yet. Hey man, He ain't never come in and signed the peace treaty yet. There's never been divine peace because there has never been divine submission. There'll be temptations, there'll be trials, and there'll be tribulations. And there'll be times in your ignorance you'll stumble and fall flat on your face. But that thing that one time drove you and had the mastery over you will never anymore. We are free from sin. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen, He was my enemy, but now He's been my friend. He is now my advocate. He now acts as my power of attorney. Do you know what a power of attorney is? That's when I come to you through a legal act. I say, now, Dwayne, I'm going to be in a situation where I don't know how I can, if I'll act right or not. I don't know if I'll know how to speak it or not. I tell you what I want you to do. While I'm in that foreign country yonder, while I'm out there, I want you to have power of attorney. That means you have access to all my resources. You have a right to command in any way you want to. It's just as I'm speaking when you speak. Well, when a man makes peace with God, when he's justified by God, and then because of the atonement, and then Jesus Christ comes into your heart, and you submit to him, you grant him the advocacy, the power of eternity, and he now is waging the war. When the devil comes in like a flood and jumps on you and says, you ain't big enough to do it no more, you ain't going to make it, you say, you don't even argue with him. You say, just talk to my lawyer. Hey! When the devil came, just talk to my lawyer. I ain't making no incriminating statements. I ain't arguing with you, but I have an advocate with the Father. One called alongside, and he'll do the talking for me. Hey. Oh, glory. Maybe I'll stop the clock again. And then, not only do I have peace, I have access. Listen to what he says. By whom? By who? By Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Access by grace. You know, the devil tells you, you might as well not pray. Ain't going to do you no good to pray. You ain't living good enough to get God to move for you. And could I tell you, though every time you come basing it on how good you live, you'll go away disappointed. But when you get it down in your heart and begin to realize that every petition you make is made through grace. You know what grace is? Grace is unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. By Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ, we have access to God through this thing. Therefore, that's what he was talking about when he said, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain grace to help in the time of trouble. You learn to come tell him how low down you are, how many times you failed him. You come in the name of Jesus. You come trusting the merits of my God. I don't know whether you know it or not, but I'm a preaching to you tonight. Amen. If I can preach Jesus big enough, maybe you'll realize the devil ain't all powerful. We, because of grace, have access. That means the door's always open. When, oh glory, times are racing and I'm a feeling God are moving on me to preach a while. When Mordecai called Esther and told her what Haman had done, he said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to go in and talk to the king. She said, it's an absolute rule. It's a rule that cannot be broken, that no man or woman or anybody can come before the king until they are bidden. And if they do, and he does not stretch out the scepter to them, that scepter does not reach out to them, they are instantly killed on the spot. He told her, he said, who knows but what God brought you to this kingdom for this time. But if you don't do it, salvation will come somewhere else, but you'll not escape. And she said, you pray. And she went in. And of course, she found favor. But I want you to know tonight, oh glory to God, Dwayne. I don't have to worry about him jumping on me.
Amen.
Now if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Amen. I have free access. Amen. By grace, always to the throne of God.
Amen.
You say, sometimes I pray, I don't feel like my prayer's going high in the ceiling. We ain't talking about a feeling. We're talking about faith. We're talking about grace. We're talking about based on the Word of God. Grace. Now, don't you notice here, we're enjoying a new position. We are standing in the presence of God. You see, you remember when Elijah stood before Ahab? He said, now, by the word of God, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Do you notice what he said? He said, according to the word of the God of Israel, before whom I stand. Elijah knew that if he had access by grace to stand before God and to make his petition known before God, he knew that God was hearing what he said. Amen. Like a father pitieth his son, has talking it over. And he knew because of that, whatever I say, it's going to be. We are standing in his presence. I'm preaching on the glorious benefits of being right with God. Oh, there's grace to the believer. Amen.
Holy
breathe on me. I feel like he's walking right beside of me. Amen. Somebody said, I heard somebody say, oh, if I'd have been there on the street that day, if I'd have been there when Jesus walked by, if I hear when he walked by, I know I could have run out and said, Jesus, heal me. I know he'd have touched me, and I know I'd be healed. I want you to know right now, amen, that you have the same access. It's easier. Amen. If you could just, oh, God, help me to preach. If you could just believe it tonight, it's easier for you to get to Jesus than it was for that woman with issue of blood who had to crawl through the crowd, because you are a son. A son has access to the Father anytime he wants to. You're a daughter. You know you're standing before him anytime you want to. Amen. Amen. Oh, the glorious benefits. Grace to believe and receive the promises of God. And then he talked about a rejoicing. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, this word here for rejoice is a different word than is ordinarily used. It has a meaning that is different. Now, when you think of rejoicing, you think what some of us was doing a while ago when we were singing about that city. When we were singing about going to Canaan land. We were rejoicing. But the word here for rejoice means to boast. To brag. It's a word that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is what David was doing when he looked at that giant. And he said, boy, that giant said, I'm going to feed you to the buzzards. I'm going to feed you to the dogs. And David said, you know what I'm going to do to you, boy? I'm going to cut your head off. And all he had was a slingshot. He didn't even have a bottle or pocket knife. You talk about bragging and boasting. That's what the psalmist was doing when he said, the Lord is my strength. Amen. He is the God of my salvation. Amen. When you get that place of peace with God and you get access to the Father, amen, you get boastful. You can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. God who once stood unapproachable to His holiness now is accessible at all times. When I get in trouble, striving for the right, you know I can call on Jesus anytime. Yes, I can. You know He is always on the line. I may be gone. Amen. I might pray for you to get me, but I may be gone. But He's always there. They call one man and said, your mamas are dying. He run the back room and fell down beside the bed and began to squall. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, God, I ain't worthy. God, I ain't been doing right. God, I. So all of a sudden he said something spoke in his heart, just like somebody shouted out. I said, shut up, man. I know all about you. What do you want? I know who you are. I know what you're going through. I know how low you are. But I see the marks of a son. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. My Lord. Notice what else he said. He said, we're rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Huh? Huh? What'd you say? Did you just sit down? You like that peace? Well, it's the peace the world can't take away. If it's the genuine peace of God, you'll glory in tribulation. Amen. Now, what he's saying here is that when tribulation comes in the life of the justified, that tribulation leads to perseverance. You see, knowing, we rejoice knowing that tribulation worketh patience, perseverance. You see, trials and tribulations and persecutions does not ever, 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 and I am not once in grace, always in grace. I am not, but I want you to know that trouble and trial and heartache and persecution never drives a true child of God away from God. Amen. We're going to all be sifted, but the sifting just exposes the chaff and the wind blows it away. And the corn is left. Every time you throw a pure 24 karat gold child of God. I've been preaching a few revivals, sitting with the pastor, and some old saint come in, and he was going to punch me, and he said, preacher, that one's 24 karat gold. I know what he's talking about. Hey, man, there wasn't no dross in them. There wasn't no hypocrisy in them. Pure gold, every time you throw it in the fire, just burn. burns and melts down and bubbles up and comes up pure, but it did when it went down. Amen. When you have these benefits of God, that peace that passes all understanding, that peace like a river, that justification by faith, that access into grace wherein we stand, amen, that rejoicing, that boasting, that you can say, I know that God is my strength. God, when you know all of that, then tribulation just brings perseverance, patience. This too shall pass. The rose looks gray at midnight, but the flame is just asleep. And still is strong because it knew the hammer and white heat. These things shall pass and life be sweeter where love and faith are strong. They cannot long endure. Oh, glory. Tribulation will never drive you away. It will only drive away the false professor. He'll only expose those who are apostate. In us, tribulation worketh perseverance, patience. And patience brings experience. It puts him to the test. And having put him to the test, I can't tell you he'll do it, Davy, until I put him to the test. And then I can say I've been there. I found him sweet in the valley. I found that when I walked in the valley, he was the rose of the Sharon and the lily of the valley. Amen. I can tell you that it will lead us from patience to experience and experience to hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Walking in the gospel like the chimes, careful as a goal, one step at a time. I have hope. Won't you quit? Won't you give up? I got hope. Man, you might as well just give it up. Man, it ain't going to never get no better. You can't stand this. How long you expect to... How long does any man expect to... I have hope. Amen. Experience has caused me to have hope in God. Why do you have hope? Because I've been down. When I was so low that I couldn't get up. And there wasn't no way out. And Jesus came by. Amen.
Worst you can do is kill the body. Amen. But when the last breath leaves the body, you can't hurt me no more. Amen. I'm not going. Amen. Where the soul lives on.
For we have got the Holy Ghost shed abroad in our hearts. Eliezer, go and talk to my bride. Abraham said, put your hand on my thigh and swear to me that you'll go to that land and get one for my son. Not one of these heathens, but one of them. You know what? Abraham was a type of God. His son Isaac's the type of Christ. And the servant's the type of the Holy Ghost. You know why? That you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the Aramean you're living in? Because we're living in this Aramean you're living in. You need it. You need it. You need it. You see? The servant went down. He said, Jesus said, when he has come, when he, the Spirit of truth, I ain't got time to preach another whole message. They told me I get so carried away in this, and I've lived it so long that I ain't finishing my sentences. I guess I expect you to know what I know. I wonder why you ain't shouting, but you ain't been there. But you see, he said, when I go away, I'm going to send you another comforter. And when he comes, he'll testify of me. He won't brag on himself. He won't say about himself. He won't talk about how good he is. He'll brag on me. A man that's really filled with the Holy Ghost, that's got heaven's Holy Ghost, will brag on Jesus. The servant went down. You know the story. Or you ought to. How he met Rebecca. Found out who she was. And he said, Rebecca, I'll tell you what I'm doing down here. My master sent me to get a bride for his son. Now I know you ain't never seen Isaac, but let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about Isaac. And he got to describing Isaac. And he described Isaac in such a way that Rebecca fell head over heels in love with a man she had never seen. I ain't never seen him. I ain't never looked at him. But the Holy Ghost, amen, that servant came down one day and he got through talking to me, amen, on an order of conviction. He got to bragging on one, amen, that I fell head over heels in love with him. This glory that makes me be patient in tribulation, he set abroad my heart by the helper. By the servant. Now, he talked Rebecca into getting on a camel and heading out across the desert. Now, I don't know. It don't look like a very good ride to me. And those that do know, so they ain't, since you ain't spelt nothing till you smell a camel's breath. So here's this dainty little lady riding that thing. And there ain't nothing here reaching around. Aww. Now I can just imagine, after a hard day's ride, and a dust storm blowed all day, and she ain't nothing but grit. I mean, it's in her eyes, and when she chews, it's in her teeth, and she's sore, and she's dirty, and that camel's ugly, and it stinks. And she's like some of you. What in the world am I in this for anyway? And so they make a little campfire. And by the campfire, she tells him about Isaac. He's tall. Or he's short. He's curly or bald. Whichever one pleases you. And he said, oh yeah. He told me, he said, when I got to this point in the game, he said, when you got this far in the desert, he sent this for you. And he got over in one of those treasure chests and got a double handful of treasure. And he said, to be sure, we give you this right here. Have you ever got to you wouldn't go glory, till you couldn't go another step further? And you camped by the side of the river. And somebody started singing a song. I'm a preaching on the glorious benefits of being right with God. And the Holy Ghost come by. Amen. Just dropped a couple, a handful of purples right down in your lap. And you fell in love with Him all over again. All over again. All over again. Amen. The Holy Ghost is sent to help us, to strengthen us, to renew us. Remember what the psalmist said? Oh Lord. Remember what the psalmist said? The psalmist said, until your strength will be renewed like the eagles. Somewhere in North Carolina, some years ago, I don't know if it's still there or not, there was a huge game preserve that has been handed down from grandfather to father to the son. And that whole thing is dedicated to saving eagles. And there's one eagle that, when I heard about him, it's been probably 10 years ago. He was 127 years old. That eagle was. He'd been handed down from the grandfather to the father to the son. And I don't know how many eagles that they had put back into the wild. But this guy said that this man led him out there and said, I looked at this eagle, this beautiful golden eagle sitting there. And he said, how old would you think that eagle is? He said, why, I don't know. Said, probably 2 years old, maybe. He said, mister, that eagle is 127 years old. He said, he told me to go on down there and look at something else. And he said, in a few moments, he came back, or I came back, and said he had them big old wire mesh gloves on. He told me to put mine on. He said he had an eagle in each arm. And he handed them to me. And he said, now, preacher, you tell me which eagle is the oldest. One of these is a 127-year-old eagle you looked at a while ago. And the other one's 18 months old. He said, I turned them around and so I said, you're playing a trick on me. He said, no, I'm not. He said, this eagle right here on your left hand is the one. Took him, put him back in the cage. He said, I said, how do you explain that? He said, because when the eagle's right and he's healthy and he's happy, said he renews himself. His feathers are renewed and his strength is renewed every year. It ain't no wonder that the psalmist said that one of the benefits was he'd renew our strength until we'd look like a young eagle again. That's why when a man 84 years old and the Holy Ghost really gets to visiting him can run just like these boys. Amen. That's why when the Holy Ghost hit somebody like Dwayne a while ago, that he had to kind of, he had to hit his, what is that thing, that Jake break. He had to hit it. I thought to myself, there's his Jake break. He's plumb fixing to run over one of little boys. Amen. Well, these young men that couldn't stay out of his way, because when that thing moves on us, when that Holy Ghost, that real Holy Ghost, amen, begins to move on people, he'll renew your strength like the eagle. He'll pick you up and make you feel brand new. I'm just a preaching a little while. And I'm about done. On the glorious benefits of being right with God. And then he said, let me read it again. And then he said, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Saved from wrath, Jesus Christ endured the wrath of God, the pains of hell, the demands of justice for me. Therefore, I am saved. I'm in a saved condition right now. But I'm going to be saved from His wrath. When the wrath of God is poured out upon a sin-cursed world, the promise is, pray that you be accounted worthy
to escape all that's coming on the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. Amen. The glorious benefits of being justified is that when the world is judged, amen, I'm already justified. I'm already there. Amen. My God, church, just a little while to stay here. Just a little while. And if you're going through it, man, just say, the harder he hits me, the harder I'm going to hit back. When the devil comes around and says, if you'll let up, I will. Say, just wait till I get up, devil. I ain't going to always be in the fire. One of these days, I'll have an experience, and that experience will be that I whooped you. Hey, man, when old Apollo met Christian on the way and flew up on him in a rage and beat him down to the ground, and just when it looked like he was going to choke the life out of him, and old Christian was a flailing around in his death kicking, his hand closed on his sword, and he reached up and dealt him a goodly blow and caused him to fly away. Amen. Every time. It may look like, Mike, you're whooped, but when you least expect it, when you think they ain't nothing, all of a sudden you'll feel strength come in that arm. You'll say, I'm going to swing at him one more time. And when you do, amen, you're going to hit him. Oh, you ain't going to kill him, but you're going to hit him hard enough, he's going to go running down the road a screaming and a crying, and he ain't going to see him for a while. Amen. Satan. I've been redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory. Christ is mine, all mine. All to Him I now resign. For I've been redeemed. Well, I promised I wasn't going to preach for an hour. And if I don't want to preach for an hour, I got to hush right now. Let's stand. Would you somebody come to the piano? Let's open up the altars tonight. Do you know that you are justified? Do you have the hope? You can have the hope.